just a comment about the Mussari comments. So first of all, a young man gets stuck in traffic. Traffic happens. Did you notice what time I got into shul this morning? Did you notice? Late. You know why I got into shul late? There was traffic. There was an accident. But I still didn't feel it was a good excuse. When I looked up to Ribbono Shel Olam, I said, I had a different excuse, but my excuse was whoever was picking me up might have come a little late too. So, but in other words, does traffic happen in the morning? Traffic happens in the morning. It's not like, ooh, a shocker. There was traffic during rush hour. It's not a shocker. So when you plan on getting to a destination, you got to take into account reasonable things that might happen. Correct? Now, I have no idea what happened to the Olam HaTorah here that's apparently stuck in traffic. And it could be that this is a unforeseeable traffic, in which case you get a pass. But as one of our erstwhile friends said, if I got to get to a place that's really, really important for me to get to, so I make sure I get to my place like 15, 20 minutes early, nice and comfy. I want to get a good seat. I want to get my my soft drink and have that in hand. Yeah. You know what? I don't know if I gave this shmooze this year. Probably didn't because you guys are such a tzaddikin. But you ever notice sometimes people do walk into davening a little late? You ever notice that happens every so often? Here and there once in a while? I don't know how. Maybe there's a lot of traffic from Merkaz up to the shul. Maybe it's like it just gets, could be. Or Gova, there's a tremendous amount of traffic. Could be. But it seems like I could be wrong. I imagine that I haven't been into a movie theater in a very long time. But when you go to a movie theater, if the movie starts at 8 o'clock, what time do we tend to get there? Usually you don't want to get there at 8 o'clock. You want to make sure you have a good seat. And not only do you want to make sure you have a good seat, you don't want to sit too close because then you're looking up the whole time. You don't want to sit too far back. You want to get a good seat. And not only that, but you want to have your accoutrements in hand. You want to get your favorite soft drink. You want to get your snow caps for sure. Do you guys know what snow caps are? Yeah. And you want to get that prime seat. And then in the middle of the very, very good film, no doubt, are you pulling out your phone just to, hopefully not. Hopefully not. Are you schmoozing with your friend? Hopefully not. Are you staying till the end? Pashtus. And credits. Maybe you want to get your money's worth. You're probably going to get there early enough to catch the... do they still have previews of... Yeah, so you want to get there early enough for the previews. You want to... So, now, I do know that you don't go to a movie every single day, three times a day. I know that. But nevertheless... we should be just sensitive to things that are omed berumo shel olam, and compared to how we navigate ourselves in this area and that area, we should be sensitive to those kind of sensitivities. Okay, but that is not my topic for today. But in general, we should strive to get to places that are important on time. What does on time mean? Well, you want to be ready with your tefillin on and you're ready to go on time. That's lechora what you want to do. Look, all right. Anyway, so again, I digress, and that is not my topic. I do want to tell you, and I mean this for real. Since Thursday evening, obviously, till today, Tuesday, we got about 5 days have passed. And it's been a very, very, very challenging set of days. Kuli alma lo pligi. I will tell you, though, that as the person who's supposedly in charge over here and kind of is looking at things from a certain perspective, 5 days into this, 5 days after Thursday night, I will just tell you that my overriding, kind of feeling today is exceptional. I'm very proud of you. And that's an overriding feeling that I have for every single person in this room. And primarily because of how you are interacting with each other. and the idea of a chevra, being there for each other, and really a sense of what I will say, a real sense of family. When I say for each other, I mean not just for each other here, but for each other in other yeshivas, and for each other as a klal. There is a certain sense of real, genuine friendship, genuine caring, genuine love, genuine family that I think is very, very profound, is very, very meaningful. And when I think about, again, the guys in this yeshiva, you know, people sometimes, you know, will comment, ooh, Mevaseret guys are not the coolest in the world. They might say such a thing. And they might have this comment or that comment. And the bottom line is, I wouldn't trade a Mevaseret guy for any guy in any other yeshiva because of... But because of the notion of just good guys, just genuinely good, caring, friendship, love, family type of guys. And yes, when times get tough, you know, it's easy to be a good friend when life is easy. And when life is going fine and life is just, you're in the basic flow, it's easy to feel, you know, to be a friend. That's easy. When life is tough, and when things are really challenging, and when things get into crisis mode, and to see how people respond to crisis, that's a real testament to who you are as individuals, to who you are as a group, to your parents, and how you were raised. I'll take a little credit for, since it's the end of the year, to your rabbeim, and how you were educated, and all of that I think is very, very chashuv. So that's point number one. I did want to make sure that I said loud and clear. Point number two is, again, just one small comment, then we'll get to the core messages, is the next steps, in my opinion, I think you understand this, and I've spoken to a lot of you about it, the next steps in the, what I'll call the healing process, I think is the next step is to get back to normal. And I think we're ready as a collective. There might not be an individual here or there that might not be ready, but as a collective, I think the core message is it's time to start moving back to a sense of normalcy. And that begins, step number one, is on your sleep schedule. And to make sure if you're not on a good sleep schedule, get yourself back into a good sleep schedule, into a normal schedule. You're getting to sleep at night, you're waking up in the morning in a regular way. Number one, your physical health, your sleep schedule needs to get back to normal. And obviously, your Limud HaTorah schedule, your daily schedule in yeshiva, your minyan schedule, your learning schedule, etc. It is. No one's saying that, you know, that the past is still not with us. Of course it is, and it should be. But the way to continue that process is to move into the next stage, which is to get back into a sense of normalcy. And Be'ez Hashem, I think we saw a little bit of that, tiny bit of it yesterday, more of it today, and Be'ez Hashem, the rest of the week, we'll move into that direction. In light of that, I want to share a little bit about, okay, so now, where are we at? You know, what are we looking for? Are there takeaways? Not, I'm talking about not the specifics, but in light of what we all experienced, where do we go next? What do we take from here? And I want to share with you a couple of chazals that I think are very relevant, built on this week's parasha. There's one pasuk that tells us, first of all, pasuk tes, in our parasha, parasha's Bahar. The Torah tells us that during the Yovel year, at the end of the Yovel year, we are told, v'havarta shofar tru'ah, b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, b'esor la'chodesh b'yom ha-kipurim, Taviru shofar b'chol artzakem. There's a mitzvah to go ahead and blow the shofar on Yom Kippur. A mitzvah d'oraisa. We have a facsimile of that when we blow the shofar at Ni'ilah, but this is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And the reason for this jubilee blast of the shofar is it kicks off all of the dinim of the Yovel. Among them is the mitzvah of shiluach avodim, of releasing slaves. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains this mitzvah. And in mitzvah Shin Lamed Aleph, he explained why do we blow the shofar, what is the significance of the shofar, and why do we inaugurate this idea of shofar blasts on the Yovel to release slaves. And he explains as follows. He says, first of all, shofar, of course, Rosh Hashanah, Tshuva, Yom Kippur, inspiring blast, of course. But more than that, is it easy to release a slave? Is it easy to get rid of your slave that's been working for you loyally for the past six, seven years, or even longer, for a millennia, a long time, and now you have to go ahead and release that slave? That is not an easy thing to do. He's been working for you, he's part of the family, Zman Rab, and it's kosher ma'od for a slave owner to get rid of his slaves. So how does he go ahead and have the strength to go ahead and release and fulfill this mitzvah? So he says that's the role of the shofar. Because when the shofar blows, I know that it's not only me that is releasing my slave, but I know that this is, my neighbor is doing it, and my friend is doing it, and my cousin is doing it, and all of Klal Yisrael is doing it. So what we do is, She'ein davar, what is the best strength for a person? She'ein davar she'chazik libos b'nei adam kamo ma'isa harabin. If you know that other people are in this with you, that other people are doing this also, it is so much easier for you to do. And to echo on the remarks that I just said, the idea of being part of what I like to call a GOC, and you're part of a growth-oriented chevra, and it's not just you, but you know it's your chevra's involved, and your chevra is up for minyan every single morning, bright and early, and your chevra is in the base medrash at 11:30 at night, every single night, and your chevra is finishing makos and pushing everyone to finish makos or chagiga with 5, 7, 8, 12 chazaros, and you know that's what the chevra is doing, so then it's not as hard as it might otherwise be. If it was just me releasing my slaves, it was just me making a sima maseches makos, it was just me doing 12 chazaros, yeah, that might be challenging, that might be tough. But when I know it's part of, I'm part of a chabura, and everyone's pushing each other, and everyone's helping each other, and everyone is facilitating what everyone else is doing, that becomes much, much easier, and that is the message of being with good kids, solid kids, growth-oriented kids, a chevra that's all involved in this positive kind of work. That is what it's all about. Speaking about the mitzvah of shiluach avadim, and very, very relevant, I think, to what we are all experiencing on some level, is when was the mitzvah, again, we have to release our slaves in the Yovel year. When was this mitzvah given? So the Torah tells us in Shmos, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Easy way to remember that. Shmos 6:13. The Torah tells us is a mitzvah of shiluach avad. Now listen to when we're told. We're told by Yedaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron by Yitzaveim es b'nei Yisrael. I'm commanding you, Moshe and Aaron, to command the people ve'el Paro melech Mitzrayim lehotzis b'nei Yisrael eretz Yisrael. I'm commanding you, Moshe, and Aaron, was this, and B'nai Yisrael, and Paro, Lahotzi B'nai Yisrael Meretz Yisrael. Does that pasuk make any sense? I'm commanding Moshe and Aaron to tell who? To tell Paro to let the Jews out. That makes sense. But what are we told over here? Who else is commanded? B'nai Yisrael was commanded to release who? Themselves? That doesn't make any sense. I'll read it again. By Darash Moshe El Aaron, by Yitzavenes B'nai Yisrael, the El Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, Lohotzi B'nai Yisrael, Meretz Yisrayim. They're being commanded to Motzi themselves, Mitzrayim, that does not make any sense.
And that is the question. Holy smokes, what a nice crowd. Wow.
Wow. What happened, Avi Kohn?
Apparently, you're going to pull everybody right here.
What I tell it? What?
We got stuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Stuck.
You know, there was a bus ramp incident.
Okay, I don't want to hear about it. Definitely don't want to hear about it. Okay. It's nice to see you, Avi Kohn, and your entire entourage. So the Pasuk tells us that the Jews were commanded. Yisrael was commanded to leave Mitzrayim, to free the slaves. So Chazal understand, it's the Yushalmi Rosh Hashanah. The Yushalmi Rosh Hashanah says, this was a command given now in Mitzrayim, that in hundreds of years from now, you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to be landowners and you're going to be slave owners.
And when the time comes, hundreds of years from now, when your landowners and your slave owners, there's going to be a time where you, B'nai Yisrael, are also going to be required to release your slaves. What Parshas that found, Bahar, Yovel, Mitzvah Shiluach Avadim. But when was B'nai Yisrael given the Mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim? They were given the Mitzvah when they were slaves in Mitzvah. And the question is an obvious one, but the answer is equally obvious. What shaykhus did they have to owning slaves when they themselves are slaves? Why are you giving them the mitzvah right now? And the pashut answer is that right now is exactly when they can hear this mitzvah. Right now, when they themselves are slaves, they can chap what it means to be a slave. And they can understand very well how, yes, slavery ought to be temporary. There ought to be a time when slaves go back home. And now they can hear it. When you're a rich slave owner and life is good and your slave seems to be happy, or at least you rationalize that he's happy, and you're enjoying the benefits of owning this property, this slave, and that's not a time when you can hear the idea of the mitzvah of Shliuch Avadim. But when you are Avadim for 210 years Mitzrayim, that's exactly the time when they're commanded the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim. And Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, in a very, very famous shmuz in the Sichos Musar, develops the idea that timing for growth is critical. And sometimes you can hear a shmuz at the wrong time and it doesn't have any impact. And sometimes you can hear it at the right time and it has impact, and here the timing was absolutely critical. Because now they can hear it. Now it could register on the national heart and it'll be meaningful. Now it'll have an impact.
And there's a very, very famous and beautiful Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Yutes.
And the Gemara really highlights this point and this Yisod. And the Gemara describes a pasuk that you're all familiar with. Pasuk says, in Mishlei, we sing it every single Friday night. Rabos banos asuchayo ve'at alis al kulano. And Chazal say, what does this mean? Rabos banos, many people, asuchayo, waged war, but you were greater than all of them. The Gemara darshins, Rabos banos asuchayo,
zu Yosef HaTzadik.
Ve'at alis al kulana zu palti ben laich. What is this referring to? So the Gemara says as follows. Yosef HaTzadik was confronted with a tremendous Yetzirah. Eshes Potifar, he's alone in the house with a beautiful woman, and she seduces him. And she threatens him if he doesn't succumb to her entreaties. And any warm-blooded young man would certainly perhaps commit this avera. And Rabos Banos Asuchayo, you waged war and you overcame this Yetzirah. And hence, Yosef is referred to as Yosef Hatzad. What is At Alis Al Kulana? Zu Palti Ben Laish.
Who was Palti Ben Laish?
So, there was a kid named Shaul. And Shaul felt very, very threatened by David HaMelech. And indeed, Shaul had a daughter, Michal Bas Shaul. And there was some kind of wedding with David and Michal. But Shaul didn't fully recognize that shidduch. And Shaul arranged a marriage between Michal, his daughter, and his man, Palti ben Laish. But she was already an Ashes Ish, David HaMelech.
that the king didn't recognize it, nothing do. They get married, so to speak, and they find themselves in the marital bedroom. Palti ben Laish with the king's daughter, night after night after night. And the Gemara tells us, Palti ben Laish didn't do anything. And what gave him the strength? And why was it Ba'at Alis al Kulana? Yosef had a one moment, a 1 hour Nisayon. And he overcame that Nisayon. And we call him Yosef Atzad. Palti ben Laish had a Nisayon day after day, week after week, month after month. And there was a Yetzirah. And what he did was he took the marital bed and he took his spear, the Gemara describes, and Noach's cherev, he pierced the marital bed with his spear as a reminder of what he should not be doing. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz suggests and points out that there are times in life where we feel inspired, where we feel close, where we feel connected, critical moments. And there are times where we don't feel that. And he says this Gemara stands for, the message of this Gemara is that when we feel those moments, we have to take concrete action. We have to concretize those moments. Because Palti ben Laish understood there would be a time when he would get weaker, when the desire for Micha Basol would perhaps overwhelm him and overcome him. And he'd succumb. So therefore, in those moments of strength and of inspiration of power, he said, I have to do something concrete. He takes the spear and pierces the marital bed. So Chaim Shmulevitz quotes another example of this idea. It's very striking. We all know in Parashas Noach that after the Mabul, Hashem produces a keshes, a rainbow. Why a rainbow? Why? What's the significance? What's the message? Why do we need a rainbow? And Chazal tell us this was like a bris that Hashem makes with his people, that even when I want to destroy the world and the world is falling once again, the rainbow is a symbol, a bris, that I'm never going to go ahead and bring another model. And the question is obvious. Why do we need a rainbow for that? Hashem presumably has self-control. And if he chose not to destroy the world again, he won't destroy the world again. But the pshat is that this was a hisoris for us, a lesson for us, that yes, when you make certain commitments in your life, you concretize them. You do something physical, something concrete, something real, that makes sure that that moment, that message of inspiration, sticks and goes forward. One last example of this idea. By Yishma Yisro, beginning of Parshas Yisro, we're told by Yishma Yisro, Yisro heard. And he came and he joined Moshe and he joined Klal Yisro. What exactly did he hear? Rashi says he heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechiyas Amalek. He saw and heard about these miracles. And he came forward. Was he the only one who heard these miracles? So we say in Az Yashir every single morning, Az Nifhalu Alothei Adom, Elei Moab Yochazim Urad. The world was trembling. The world heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. And what did the world do about it? Not much. Nothing. But by Yishma Yisro, Yisro was inspired and he acted. And he made a move. Rabosai, inspiration, significant events that impact us in a profound and real way, more often than not, like 99 times out of 100, we're inspired, we have a high, a feeling, and then a day or two or five later, it is 100% gone. It's human nature. Because the reality is, inspiration is a gift.
and it's not normal. It's not the norm. The norm is the everyday, day-to-day, day-in, day-out. That's the norm. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, before the Midbar, Mitzrayim had tremendous inspiration. Esther Makos Kriyas Yamsuf, unbelievable inspiration. And after Kriyas Yamsuf, do they run right to Har Sinai? No. Now it's Midbar. You go from inspiration and then into Midbar, into ordinary, into regular, into a world that has no inspiration whatsoever. Kach hi darko shel olam. There was inspiration Har Sinai, and shortly thereafter there was an egel hazav, because inspiration dissipates and expires very quickly. In the words of Rav Akiva Tatz, inspiration, it's artificial, and human consciousness and human senses are turned to an initial burst of sensitivity and then rapid decay into dullness. Sights, sounds, smells, even tactile stimuli are felt sharply at first and then hardly at all. A constant sound is not registered. You don't hear it. You're ignoring the fans that are blowing around you. Constant sound you don't hear. When they stop, then you might hear something. Things that don't stop, inspiration that doesn't stop is a miracle. We just learned in Daf Yomi. How long did the Lechem HaPanim stay hot in the Shulchan? In perpetuity. For 7 days straight. It stayed warm, it stayed fresh. And when it was taken out and then restored by new pas, it was just as fresh as it was 7 days later. That's miraculous. For inspiration, for warmth, for freshness to stick, that's a miracle. That's not Derech HaTeva. Derech HaTeva is stuff gets stale. I have the schus of marrying off a daughter in about 8 days' time. Exciting. And one of my core messages here is that right now, as she's so excited, she's like, her feet are not on the ground. She's like in some cloud somewhere. And that'll last for a bit. Hopefully, a bit, a while. Shana Rishona, maybe Shana Shniya. It'll last a bit. But, Kachi Darko Shel Olam. Then you get back to earth. Then you get back to normal. And normal means work. Normal means schwitz. Normal means pedal to the metal. Because after all, if you're living on this high of inspiration, it's not you. It's really not 100% real. It's inspired. It's meaningful, it's powerful, it's important. But it's a little bit artificial. And real requires going into the desert after Kriyas Yamsuf and getting the work done. Quick fixes don't last. So what I wanted to really share with you is, again, our reactions to the past 4 or 5 days have been very varied. A lot of emotions, a lot of fear, a lot of thinking, and hopefully, I don't know about you, but hopefully, also inspiration. Also, a certain kind of energy. When I say inspiration, I'm referring specifically to being inspired by the Leviat of Donny Morris, Zichron Lebracha, and to hear stories about a young man and his commitment to tefillah and his commitment to limud haTorah and to hasmada and his commitment to his friends and his commitment and his relationship with his siblings and his parents and all of the things that we heard about. That hopefully created some inspiration. And hopefully, if there's anything that comes out that we can take away, is a certain achrayus. And by the way, the levaya that you went to, but you can multiply that by 45 for sure. Because that levaya, which yes, in our world, was very big and very dramatic, but there were levaya after levaya. And in the Mir Yeshiva, 2 days ago was the saddest day in a long time in the Mir Yeshiva, and the Bachrim there that unfortunately perished also are inspiring other people. And Rav Nachi Rybak's nephew, Chaim Rock, Zichron Lebracha, and the stories that are being told about him on the radio and by his friends and by his family, all these are moments of inspiration. But the reality is, the unfortunate reality is in a week, in 2 weeks, in a month, we move on. And on the one hand, we move on because Kahu Darkosh, that is Darkosh Shel Ol. Yes, we are supposed to move on. On the other hand, it would be a mistake, a terrible, terrible mistake, to walk away from inspiration and not bring something long-term with us. And that's really my message to you today. So I'm going to ask you right now, it's against my policy totally. If you have a phone on you, I'm going to ask you to take it out. And I'm going to ask you to, on your phone, find some memo pad, some place where you write things. And I'm going to ask you to take a minute or two right now to think about, perhaps, Levaya. Perhaps, and if you don't have a phone, that's all good. You could do it on a piece of paper. That's kosher too. You could think about something in your life. It could be Ben Adam Lamakov. It could be Ben Adam Chavero. It could be Ben Adam La'atzma. It could be an area of Midos. A smile that we heard so much about, and the impact of a person's smile. Having the Kabbal Adam B'Sever Panim Yafos. I will share with you one Kabbalah I made. I don't always bench with a bencher. So I was Mekabbal upon myself, Li Neder, to always bench with a bencher and have more Kavan and Birchas HaMazon. The time of, the moment of Hodah for the food, for the gashmius that we have in this world. Hodah, Birchas HaMazon, for Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chemda Tov Rechava. Hodah for No Delecha Hashem Elkeinu, for Yushalayim, for Hatov HaMeitiv. So that was one of my Kabbalahs. But I'm encouraging you right now not to let inspiration just dissipate. Take a minute, take 2 minutes now to record something you want to be makabel upon yourself. It's up to you. I'm just going to throw out. We speak a lot about Lashon Hara. We speak a lot about Limud HaTorah, about Hasmada, about Tefillah, about Kavanah and Tefillah, getting to Tefillah on time, whatever it might be. Speaking in a certain way to your parents, maybe sharing how much you love your parents with them more than you might otherwise. Whatever it might be, take that minute or two, and then Be'ez Hashem, I will close.
So the piece that I'm quoting from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is a piece that he entitles Yesh Kone Olamo B'Shah Achas, that a person can acquire his world in one moment. And he's talking about, again, those moments of inspiration which you can seize or you can let expire. Because those moments of inspiration are like the Rambam writes. Imagine a pitch black country road and you can't see anything. You play the game of turning off your headlights and you see it's mamish pitch black. And then there's a flash of lightning. And the flash of lightning illuminates everything. For a split second, you can see, and then you're back to darkness. That's what inspiration is. It's a split second of, wow, I'm connected, I feel, and then you're back to regular. But that split second, when you have that clarity, and you're makabel upon your things, on yourself, things that you will take with you into the day-to-day, that's called Yesh Kone Olamo B'Shah Achas. And that title, to that, this sikha, is drawn from a very famous Gemara, Avodah Zarah Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara speaks about a person, I'm sure you know this Gemara, person known as Rav Elazar ben Dudaya. And Rav Elazar ben Dudaya was a major Rasha. And the Gemara describes, Shelo hiniach zona achas ba'olam shelo ba eleha. There was not one zona in the world that he did not partake of. And pam achas shama shiye zona achas bekirkei hayam. He heard of a zona, famous zona on the other side of the ocean. And he took a pile of money, the halach, and he traveled shiva naharos, crossed seven seas, to go ahead and meet up with this zona. And bishas hergel davar, when they're about to do the deed, she passed gas, says the Gemara. He picha. And Umra, and she made the following statement. Kishem sha hificha zu, this gas that I passed, eino choseres l'mkoma, is not going to go back to the place it came from. Kach Elazar ben Dudaya, ein mekabun oso b'tshuva. Rav Elazar ben Dudaya will never be able to do tshuva. And this shook him to his core. That one statement. And he withdrew from this woman, and halach v'yasha ben shnei harim. He went in between two mountains, and he dived, and he said, harim gvos, mountains, bikshu alai rachamim, pray for me. And they said, we're not going to pray for you, we pray for ourselves. And then he went to shamayim v'aretz, bikshu alai rachamim. He said, I'm not going to daven for you, we're daven for ourselves. Chama ulavana, bikshu alai rachamim. Achon mevakshim alecha, nevakesh al atzmenu. And he realized all of these approaches were not working. Until he got up, and he said, "Ein hadavar talui ella bi." It all depends on me. I can't seek the answers in the sun and the moon, the mountains or the seas. Ein hadavar talui ella bi va'amra. What he do? He stuck. He niach rosho ben birkav. He stuck his knees, his head in between his knees. Ve'ga'a bebechia. He cried out in tshuva ad sheyatza nishmasa. And he died on the spot. And yatza basisko. A basko came down va'amra. Rabbi Eliezer ben Dudaya, mizuman l'chaye ho'olam haba. You're invited to join the tzaddikin in olam haba. And the Gemara concludes, Bacha Rebbe. Rebbe heard this story, v'amar, and he said, Yesh kone olamo bekama shanim. There are those that take years to acquire their olam haba. V'yesh kone olamo b'sha'achas. And you can acquire olam haba in a split second. And then he says,
not only was his tshuva accepted, but forevermore, his person is no longer going to be called Eliezer, Elazar ben Dodaya, but he's Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya. Seizing moments. A moment, he was the lowest of the low. And a moment of inspiration. A flippant comment by a zona from across the sea inspired him to do a massive tshuva. And Rav Elazar ben Dodaya muzman l'chaye olam haba. So we should all be zochen to live inspired lives. But that doesn't mean you're going to be dancing on the roof of a van for the entire life. That's not what it means. It means you're going to go ahead and find those moments where lightning illuminates the world, where you feel inspiration, where you feel connectivity in a very, very profound way, where you're uplifted. And then you stop and you say, okay, what am I going to do in my day-to-day life? How am I going to bring that to my tomorrow and to my Thursday and Friday and Shabbos and beyond? And Be'ez Hashem, we take those moments of inspiration, we bring them into our day-to-day, and we too, after Me'a Be'ez Shana, will be Muzman L'Chayei Olam Haba. Amen.